C-I-T.
C-I-T-R.
C-I-T.
Yeah.
Why do I keep on thinking it's... okay.
If you, it's like sitar, you read it, but C-I-T-R.
C-I-T. This is what my producer has to go through every week when I do my promos. It takes like 3 hours to do a 30-second promo. C-I-T-R.
C-I-T-R, okay.
So just go ahead.
Yeah.
This is Wiretap's Jonathan Goldstein, and you are listening to CITR 101.9.
Then come out to show them. Like, open the bruise up and let some of the blues blood come out to show them. Then come out to show them, 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 come out to show them.
Music. Listening to music while stoned is a whole new world. Most parents consider its important second only to sex, and grass will change your musical habits for the better.
America's most money. Soon as you start sleeping, catching you off guard. You rhythm now, huh?
If you'll all gather close around the phonograph.
Quaz, when he really hits star mode, never will he boost loose fillies with the barcode, or take a whole carload on a wasted trip, or sip wide out lace tip from tip with yip. Some rather baggies of the like they cracks and vows, catch a tag, roll a bag of swag in a black and mouth. See twist optimal, just the raw leaf part, the list top go, bust before beef start, at the stop and go mart, acting like a spirit host done it. Dude nominated for the best role L's, and they wondered how he dealt with stress so well. Wild guess, you could say he stays sedated. Some say booted, some say faded. Some day prayed that he would grow a farm barn full. Recent research show it's not so darn harmful. Sometimes you might need to detox. It can help you with your rhyme flow and your beatbox. Off spike to your surprise, turn a Newport light to a joint right before your eyes. Tear a page out the good book, hear it how you want it.
Villain killing mad boom. Consume weed and drink fruit till we perfume the room. The beat conductor smoke 27. Shady.
Yeah, you can even ask my reverend. Will he know
how the Phillies roll? Really though.
Spend my last dough. We got the sticky gold. I spark the lock.
But don't with speed. The trees will see. Quasimodo crew.
We get keys. The most blooded on the map.
The one astro black in the alley with a hood rat. Hood rat. When you try to react.
Even your pops got smacked.
Even your mom's got cracked.
Meanwhile,
while my bow got packed.
You drop X, you can have the sex.
What? No. I smoke drinks, so I can roll your shirt. Watch the cigarette. I got the fat sack. All day I hunt it.
America's most blunted.
It's a known fact that grass increases creativity from 8 to 11 times. In fact, everyone finds that they're more creative stoned than straight. So remember...
M-A-R-I-J-U? A-J-U-A-N-A? Marijuana. Marijuana.
Hello, you are listening to Dunkin' Donuts here on CITR 101.9 FM, coming to you from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. And a very happy 420 to those who celebrate. I do not, but you know, it's the West Coast culture, so I love a holiday music. So I played a bit of Mad Villain at the top, America's Most Blunted, from the Mad Villainy album in the early 2000s. Right now we're listening to Norman Blake from his Fields of November. This is the song Dry Grass on the High Fields, which I don't think he had today in mind, but that's okay. Norman, people can interpret it. Your music however they want. On today's show, we have a very special program. I have an extended interview with the band Buddy. So they are playing tonight at the Lido with Devours, as you will hear many times. And they have a new record out called Agitator. And I wanted to have a chat with them, find out about the new record. Dan, the main songwriter, is from Philadelphia and relocated to Vancouver a couple years ago. So, it was good to get to meet him. And so you should make your way down to the Lido tonight. So we're going to hear one of his bands, his old friends from Philadelphia. They're called Quark. Spelled Q-W-A-R-K. I think there's a theme to bands slightly misspelling their name for Philadelphia, just the way it goes. And so we're going to hear a song from them, and then we're going to jump right into the interview that happened on the patio of the Lido a couple of nights ago. So here is Philadelphia's Quark from their self-titled record from 2018. This is the song Star Power, and after that, you will hear my conversation with Buddy.
It came and went. I said I never want to go outside again. You said there's nothing left. You said you want to try to live inside. If you can, would you tell me if your body aches when it rains? And I hope you know you'll never go hungry again. So why you
Hello, Buddy. Welcome to the CITR Airwaves. Do you want to start by introducing yourselves?
Yeah. Hi, my name's Dan Forrest. I play guitar and I sing in Buddy.
My name's Lindsay. I play bass.
I'm Natalie and I play the drums.
Excellent. Thank you. And we're at an unusual location. We're not in the CITR studios. We're recording a couple of days before, and it's a bit of a checking out the lay of the land because something is happening here at the Lido in a couple of days. But tonight, if you're listening live.
Yep, we are playing an album release show here with Devours for the album called Agitator that's coming out on Friday.
Excellent. What do you like about the Lido as a venue?
It is cozy. It's got a great vibe. I love the ivy on the ceiling. And they're just really sweet people, and we've had a great time every time we play here. This sounds great. It's awesome.
So, Dan, I'll start just asking you a bit about the beginning, the genesis of Buddy. You're not originally from Vancouver. You started the band when you were living in Philadelphia. So how did the band originally come about?
Yeah, I've been playing in bands since I was really little, pretty much, 13. And this is, you know, coming out of playing in a band called Twin with two I's. misspelling words is kind of like, I guess, our thing. And yeah, I was playing drums at the time and like just getting into songwriting and looking to start a project. So yeah, I got together with my friend Andy, who actually moved to Bellingham and might wind up playing with us soon, so we'll see. But and another friend Jake, and wrote some songs, started playing, and then I moved away for a job and took a little hiatus. When I got back, I restarted the project up in 2017 and have been doing it since.
Excellent. And so how do you find yourself in Vancouver? Like how did it come about that you're in Vancouver now?
Yeah, COVID was a really weird time, and like I was stuck in the house and it felt like everything was on pause, and you know, music wasn't happening. I was questioning everything about life. So pretty much I was like, what can I do? And I, you know, care a lot about sustainability, the environment, justice and equity and things of that nature. And so I was decided to start a grad program, looked all around, and UBC, and wound up being a great fit. So that's how I'm here. And then I lucked out by finding great people and finding a cool music community. And yeah, no looking back.
Excellent. And so you've connected with Lindsay and Nat. What was the audition process like? How rigorous were you?
Extremely rigorous. I put them through a 12-day process of just like, no, we... yeah, we met online, kind of like through a music forum on Facebook, actually. Like I posted just like being like, who plays music in Vancouver? I know nothing about this city, really. And I'm just like diving in, no background at all. And Nat reached out and told me that she and Lindsay were planning a project that had recently kind of decided to take a, you know, take a hiatus. And yeah, and then, you know, we actually started talking before I even moved here. Like, we had a Zoom call.
Yeah, we had a couple Zoom calls.
Which is fun. Yeah, and they just seemed like really nice people, and I was like, I really hope this works out. And then we jammed, like, first week I was here, and...
it was Victory Square Rock Party Day, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Because we took you there.
Yeah, they showed me around. Actually, we saw Devours then, and that was like, wow, this is amazing. I need to know this person. Anyway... so yeah, that's a fun little background story. But yeah, we've just started playing immediately and started practicing, and yeah.
So Nat, what was that band that you were a part of with Lindsay?
Lindsay and I were in another band called Wildkind with Johnny LaRusick and Justin Penny. And yeah, so we stopped, and we, you know, also in the midst of the pandemic, and Lindsay and I were looking for another project, so that's when I saw Dan's Post. Yeah, it worked out well. Thanks, Mark Zuckerberg.
And you're also not originally from Vancouver. How did you make your way here?
Yeah, so I'm originally from New Zealand, but I've been here for over 10 years now. So it's been a little while. So yeah, I came over here on a working holiday visa, and I work in film and TV. So, you know, there's a bit of that happening here. So I just wound up staying, yeah.
And so drums and bass, the rhythm section of Wildkind, just looking for a new host. And
we are a parasite, yes. No, we love working with each other, so we were happy to find another project. Yeah.
And you've been on my show. You were on my show with Village.
Yeah.
And you've been in a number of other bands here in town.
After Village came Wildkind, kind of a little crossover there. And then both those projects stopped. And then before Dan got here, I started playing in a band called Little Sparky, which is more of a, I guess, dance punk, mathy, angular band. And that's real fun. Played in that with Matt and Steve and Barry. I almost forgot Barry. I'm so sorry, Barry. I'll never forget your Coors Banquet, though. Still in Hannah's fridge. yeah. And then they came about, and it's been real fun playing in Buddy.
All right, before we move on, I need to ask you about some of your photography.
Yeah.
So how did that come about? Have you always been interested in birds, or is that a new kind of calling or interest?
Well, when I moved to the West End like 7 years ago, probably really picked up my interest in birds. Kind of hard to avoid them down there. I basically live right beside Lost Lagoon. So any of my time off, I just kind of wander around there and have a nice time. And then I turned 40 this past year, And my good friend Natalie here and a couple other friends bought me a nice little zoom lens, so I have a much more intimate peek into these birds' lives, and I've been having a great time.
Excellent. So that's a kind of a recent like upgrade or like step up.
I've always been looking at them. Yeah, I have a little bit of a bird nerd, but now it's just kind of like up my game. Yeah.
Very cool. So you've come together, but so when did you officially kind of say yes, we're going to be a band? Not official. Like, there wasn't, like, the drop of blood in a contract.
Yeah. We, like, took an oath. We signed a bunch of papers. No, I think pretty much immediately, right? I don't know. Like, September 2021, we were just, like, yeah, just started practicing right away, getting prepared, wanted to start playing shows as soon as that was feasible and safe, and did. Yeah.
And we did.
Can you think of a song that you first learned that of his where or of a buddy's where it like really clicked, like, oh yeah, it's happening?
I feel like the first ones we learned were maybe Worried,
yeah,
and We'll Never Break. I think those were the first ones.
Okay, let's give a listen. Let's take a little break and we'll listen to Worried and then we'll be right back. Agitator, which is going to be released tomorrow and will be partied about or feted tonight at the Lido. So the reason I ask about when you formed is because this album was recorded in August of 2021. So you recorded this kind of before you figured out exactly what your band was going to look like in Vancouver.
Yeah, it was actually, we started recording probably earlier than that, like early summer 2021. I was still playing with the lineup that was in Philly. So most of the songs were played on by like that core lineup, which is Brian Thomas, Danielle Farley, and David Dean. It was a busy summer. I was trying to get a lot in, and we recorded in a bunch of, you know, different locations. Like part of it was done in my apartment. Part of it was done in Danielle's uncle's house in the Poconos of Pennsylvania mountains, if you're not familiar with that area. And yeah, part of it was done at this studio called Studio North. And the rest of it, my good friends who have played in the band at various points in time, Tim McMonagall and Andy Silverman, played bass, drums and bass respectively on some, I think, 5 or 6 tracks as well, or across an EP and an album. Sorry, it was a bunch of songs. We got it all done at the same time.
We had a lot to learn. Yeah. A lot to learn. Like 20-something songs from that.
Yeah.
From that slew of songs, and then stuff from the previous record as well. So we were very busy.
Yes. Still playing catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's any like buddy heads out there, like like yelling out for the really deep cuts, you're gonna like really be put through your paces.
I mean, maybe. No, we know a pretty old one. Sync is pretty old.
Yeah, the first EP, actually, well, basically, the first EP that's out there on the internet, that was like the main song that we still play on that called Sync. But yeah, they learned that, and Lindsay learned that kind of recently-ish, and we played it a couple times.
Sled last year, I think, for, we had to have an expanded set for our Sled show last year, so.
How was Sled Island? How was playing Sled? I've never been, but I hear it's an amazing festival.
Our third show, and we opened for Built to Spill, so that was.
Saw that in your bio. It's like a great name drop. Like the yeah, like yeah, damn.
Dan did not believe that was happening. You got the like confirmation emails. Like, this can't be right. They mean we're just playing a festival with Built to Spill, like, right? Or like, no, that is the show. That is the day.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was a really big venue. Yeah. It was really fun. Good sound. They were really nice there. And another band called Motherhood played, and they're awesome. Yeah. They're, I think, from New Brunswick. Yeah. And, I've been listening to their music ever since, so that was cool to meet them and make that connection.
Yeah. I mean, you share a sonic aesthetic with Built to Spill. That's like a great curatorial choice to put you all on the same bill. And Motherhood's kind of in that same vein, too. So that's awesome that it worked out.
Yeah, it was great. We had a great time. It was like, you know, felt like a rush putting the set together before then. And Aiden Hanlon was still playing with us at the time, and that was really fun for us all four to go out there, take a road trip.
I work best with deadlines. So like, you got a hard deadline, and like, okay, we're gonna get it done.
Yeah.
Cram. But I don't think it would have happened otherwise. Yeah. But now we've got a like much wider repertoire than we would have had beforehand, so that's good.
So the first question, Jeff, Devours is going to open for you tomorrow night, and he wanted to know what's the big difference between the Philly and Vancouver music scenes. So there's like a couple of heavy hitters that you know about from Philadelphia, like Kurt Vile and Alex G. But what, like, kind of, what is the Philly scene like, and how would you compare it to Vancouver?
Yeah, wow. It is very different. I feel like people here are like a little more like chatty and ready to like, you know, say hi at shows. I love the Philly scene, and the music is like really, really good. I have great friends there. So many friends that play in bands. There's like a whole, it's like a darker sound, I guess, coming out of Philly in some ways. Like the music that I know that bands are getting big there, like kind of like shoegazy a little more, and like new version. I don't know, like, the aesthetic is like pixely, screwed up, like video games that are distorted, and like, yeah.
Meat Bodies from Philly, or Body Meat? What am I thinking of?
Bodies are from, I don't think they're from there. Okay. But yeah, bands like, they're getting a Body of Water, getting big out of there. They moved there, like, I think that they moved there a couple years before I left. A band called Sun Organ is like one of my favorites, and they, similar vein, like, pop hooks and melodies, like really like pop influence writing, but then like dark chord changes and like, I guess like grunge and shoegaze influence, but definitely something wholly its own now.
And I think in the popular imagination, people think of Philadelphia as this very anarchic, chaotic place, and like, I guess mainly maybe it's sports fans and also like the Always Sunny in Philadelphia TV show. Is there any truth to that, like really zany, like unpredictable energy of Philadelphia?
I think so, but I love that. I miss that. I don't know. I think there's just like, you know, there's a working class pride in the city. You know, a lot of people are kind of lower income and like make it work in a really, you know, it's tough, but it's really admirable that everybody in the city is like, you know, there's pride and community in being a Philadelphian, and people don't tend to leave. Like, I think I'm the odd one out. I think a lot of people tend to stick around the city. It has a way of sucking you in, keeping you there. And like, I feel like I'll be back one day because that's the city I know. It raised me. I love it. Yeah.
What's another song from Agitator that you'd like to play for the people out there? Do either of you have a
break? Global Consequence. Those are ones that are kind of floating
songs
around on my
mind.
Maybe we'll play "We'll Never Break." It's the first single that came off of the album.
All right, here is the brand new Buddy album, Agitator, and this is "We'll Never Break."
if you feel what I'm feeling. Say if you close your eyes, do you feel small?
So that was We'll Never Break from the new album Agitator, out tomorrow. And there's a backup vocalist on that song?
Yeah, their name is Al Menny. They have sung and played in a bunch of different bands, but I really admire their work in a band called Great Grandpa. They also have solo music that's amazing. And yeah, they have a really unique voice. And style of singing, and I was just like elated that they were willing to sing on some of these tracks and you know, add like a huge quality to them that I don't think would have been possible without their voice. And yeah,
excellent. So the album comes out, and then what you've got another show at Green Auto coming up after that, and then some big plans for the summer, I think.
Yeah, our friends, I have friends in a band called La Veda that are coming from, they're like from the Albany, Troy area of New York, and they're on tour, and they've been touring a lot lately, and so I'm excited for them to come see Vancouver. We're going to play with them at Green Auto, and then we're going to head to Toronto to play a fest called North by Northeast. I don't know much about it. I'm excited to check out Toronto. I've never been there. Should be fun.
What do you think of Toronto?
It's good. It's been a while since I've had time to just spend time that's not in a suburb. The last time I was there, I went to my friend's house for Thanksgiving, and we spent a lot of time at their house. We went to like a basketball game, and then we drove to Buffalo and played a bunch of pinball. So that was my last time in Toronto. I'd like to go and explore a little bit. I'm excited to hop around the bars and stuff like that, because I haven't really done that in a while. I think the last time I was there doing that, I was underage, sneaking in. So my cousin like snuck me in to see Elliot Smith at the Horseshoe.
Wow.
That was really
awesome.
Fun. I mean, I couldn't really see him because he was sitting on a little stool, and so he like one time he stood up and just waved to the audience, so that was nice.
Did
he
sound good?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm very jealous.
Yeah.
I
went to visit them a couple times out there, and they would always, they're like a couple years older than me, so it'd be like 17 getting just like snuck into the back of all these Toronto bars. So I'm looking forward to reliving some of those memories, except for to the front door.
Good birding in Toronto as well. High Park, Tommy Thompson Park.
Give me all the recommendations for all the birding places, please. And also Montreal, we're going to do a show there as well.
Yeah. Still figuring out the details, but it's coming together, and I'm excited.
We'll keep you posted on the socials.
Yeah.
And are you going to drop down to the northeast of the U.S. at all?
No, not for this trip. Honestly, that's something that's challenging for us. Like, I don't really know how to do it. I've got this, like, privilege as an American to be able to cross the border whenever, but like playing music down there, we need all sorts of, like, you know, we need one of two different types of visas. It's really expensive. I don't know how Canadian musicians can make it work really without substantial financial backing and grant writers. And
did that, like, there was legislation that was, or there was a proposal to take that fee for the visa way up. I don't know. Did that go through, or has it?
I heard it passed. I might be wrong about that. Don't take my word for it, but I think it did. And if it did, then it's like $1,250 per person instead of $450. Yeah. It's like really gonna, you know.
We have some aspirations to do a tour next year down the coast. We're hoping to figure that out. But yeah, the cost is definitely the thing that's, you know, prohibiting us from actually just jumping on that.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know what they were. I guess they were thinking that they just wanted fully, like, corporate music to happen from elsewhere in the world. So I don't know, but I wrote in. I tried to oppose it. I don't think it did anything. It was just a comment on the internet on the legislative page, but you know, what could we do? But
that West Coast trip is like such a dream for bands, I think, like being able to go down to LA, San Diego and back. Yeah, fingers crossed it works out for you, because it's such a fun road trip. Yeah, how about you? How do you feel about Toronto and playing Toronto and Montreal?
I'm excited. I've never been to Montreal. I've been to Toronto once, but I only saw the airport, the hotel by the airport, and a cricket field way in the outskirts. So I'm looking forward to actually doing it properly.
Yeah, we go.
I used to play it well.
I used to.
I used to be good. Now my knees hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, fate that awaits us all.
It's no fun.
Did you play here in Vancouver?
I used to play in New Zealand years ago, and then after the pandemic and sitting around a lot, I decided I needed to get out for a run round. So I found a cricket club here and came out of retirement. But my body doesn't move how it used to.
Were you at Lumberman's Arch or at Douglas Park? Or
Connaught Park. The Miralomas.
Okay, all right. I don't know much about the cricket scene, so that's a great subculture to find out about. I wanted to ask you a bit about the albums on Agitator. So you've talked a bit about how, like, just kind of the political view that you bring to your songs, and so it's just wanting to ask you a bit about how that presents itself in your music, and maybe how it aligns with the other work that you're doing in your non-music life.
Yeah. I think about this a lot. I guess the name comes from kind of like the need for change and the need to stir things up and rethink the way that our societies operate. We have multiple crises, climate, ecological crises, inequity crises, they're all interlinked and they're all coming to a head right now. And so the music talks about some of those issues, you know, wealth inequality and like the influence of wealth and power over our daily lives, the effect that has on our climate and on ecology, and then more local issues of just like the lives that we live because of these broader structures and things that are kind of out of our hands on a daily basis that we're subject to.
And do you find writing about it helps you process that and just kind of like work through it, or is it more about raising awareness for other people?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, I'm sure some people can sympathize with the idea of like climate or ecological anxiety, climate grief, these feelings that are like, what are we gonna do in this world, and how are we going to address these things? And sometimes they feel way too big for any one person to grapple with or take on. And so like talking about them, finding communities of people that also want to try to think through these difficult things, calling out inequality where it is and pointing, trying to think positively and think about, you know, real solutions that are, it's not an easy thing, but, and I don't think I'm great at it by any means, but just, you know, what are you doing if you're not talking about it, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. How do you feel about that?
I don't really have anything to add.
Oh, me? I mean, it's tough for me to talk about because it's Dan that did the writing, but it's nice to kind of step into a band where, you know, there is, you know, he's talking about important things. It's not just, you know, tired old cliches. It's nice.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all the questions that I have. Anything else that you'd like to add or anything that we didn't bring up that we should talk about? Oh, I have that question from Jeff and DeVowers. So, Jeff wanted, he wanted to know, what are your biggest turn-ons in a partner?
Biggest turn-ons in a partner. Honestly, boldness, like
being kind of like that question.
Yeah, true. Being like fully yourself. I've been happily with my spouse Dana for like over 10 years, but we've been married a couple, and yeah, I mean, she's just a great person and super unique, and yeah, I don't know. I guess those traits.
And she made the trip to Vancouver as well?
Yeah. We live together here, foreign fast friends, have a whole community. It's been great. We got a little pup, got a cat, and...
very adorable. Yeah. He wears sweaters. He's very cute.
I never imagined that I'd wind up with a tiny Chihuahua mix. It was a very big surprise to me, but he's the best. And yeah, Maze, our cat, is like... I just love animals. They're great. They bring joy to our lives.
Excellent. All right. Well, if there's nothing else to add, anything? Yeah. Anything? Any shout outs or any bands that you've... So now that you kind of come to Vancouver with fresh eyes, has there been any bands other than Devours maybe that have blown you away that you've been really excited about maybe playing with or that you've enjoyed seeing play?
One of our early shows, we had an EP release with Dead Soft, and they were a band that like Aiden actually introduced me to before we like early on in my time here, and then I just immediately got hooked. Hadn't heard of them before. I know a lot of people around here know about them, so I don't know if that's a surprise to bring them up, but yeah, like they were totally new to me, and their whole catalog kind of blew me away, and I've been listening a lot ever since. But yeah, there are so many good bands that are up and coming. I'm trying to think.
Was on our bill with Dead Soft too. They were really fun. Yeah. They enjoyed that bill.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Big Rig because you love them.
That's true. I had no idea about the like musical history around that project, but yeah, like we saw Big Rig at Sled Island, and they were also a surprise to me, just like pop sure, songs, yeah. But with a banjo, just like really catchy and easy to sing along. They immediately got stuck in my head. I'm a huge sucker for like hooks and catchy melodies and like anything that I can go around humming, whistling, singing to myself too often all day long, annoying other people but enjoying it myself. Yeah, so Big Rig's great.
And is there a song that we haven't played yet from Buddy that you'd want to close out with the interview?
Let's see. I don't know. What do you think? There's.
It could be a deeper cut.
Yeah, maybe Global Consequence or the ends. Yeah, Global Consequence is probably okay. A good one. Rest of Summer is another one that I like.
So what is what's Game of what is this? Game of Global Consequence. Such a like a light, fun ditty.
Yeah, it's about feeling helpless, locked in your side, thinking about the. Massive changes that are happening in the world and thinking about how do we do something about it and like what are the underlying factors. And mostly I was thinking about like greed and capitalism and like wealth inequality and people thinking like billionaires thinking selfishly and influencing the rest of our world and economy and everything. So
hell yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Buddy. That was really fun. It was really nice to meet you and hang out. And make your way down to the Lido on Thursday night, tonight. Devours will be there. That's always a great time. What time is Devours going to start?
Probably around 8:39, probably around 9 o'clock. Yeah.
All right.
Before then.
Yeah. To avoid cover.
You're sure to dance. It's going to be a party. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks so much. Here is Buddy from the new album Agitator, and this is Game of Global Consequence. All right.
Struggle with the populace and the days. Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here, God, ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Ugh.
Isn't there anything? 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 Anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again. I could be you.
Do you like music as much as I do? Do you like music like me? What about music, huh? Hey, do you like music like mine? Listen to the songs I chose for you. Do you like synth bass, electric guitars, drum machines, people singing along to all that? If so, tune in to 2010 Radio bi-weekly on Thursdays on CITR at 6 to 7 p.m. to hear the coolest selections from the underground indie electronic music scene in Canada and more with your host, Charlie D. Woo! I like music.
Cover every song I write.
That was Big Rig from their self-titled cassette, and that was the song Happy Song, and it makes me happy. I, much like Dan, also really, really love Big Rig. Before that, we heard Be Afraid from the record Remember Fun. That was the song Automatic Worry. And before that, we heard Dead Soft from their self-titled record from 2013. That was the song Everything. And before that, Buddy with Game of Global Consequence. Thanks so much, Buddy, for that great chat. It was fun to meet Dan and see Lindsay again and to meet Natalie. And I hope they have a great show tonight. Lots of other things. Sunset Rubdown is playing at the Rickshaw. I don't know, there's a lot of shows happening tonight and this weekend as well. Banana House is at the Green Auto. Yeah, lots of good things happening. So brave the rain and get out there. That's what I say. So that's going to do it for this episode of Dunkin' Donuts. I wanted to close out with a song by Penteo. They are from Toronto, and they have a new record that they've just announced coming out on June 9th. It's entitled Anne Pagdaloy, and we're going to hear the debut single. It's entitled One More Latch, Give It To Ya. And so I love their first record, and I went to a workshop that they put on at the Girls Rock Camp Vancouver Fieldhouse when they were here in town for the Jazz Fest. And they're lovely people and very talented musicians. And it is my privilege to get to play their music again. I'm so glad their sophomore record is coming out. So here we go. Here's Penteo. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you next week. Bye.
Columbia.
Take your protein pills and put your hair.